This time of year, for so many of us in the room, we take opportunities that we don't take the rest of the year and reflect upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we take those opportunities as we begin to reflect upon them. And one of the things that I've noticed in my years as being a Christian is that God has a tendency almost every year to bring some kind of a new thought, new ideas, new understanding. It's not new to him, but it's new to me as I've begun to discover who he is, as I continue to discover how he changes my world. And so we've been talking about this. And recently, as we were reading through the Gospels, we discovered that there were three prayers that Jesus had on his way to the cross in which he spoke publicly those prayers, not just between him and God, but he meant for those prayers to be spoken in a way so that other people could hear and be involved in those prayers. And so last week we talked about make us one was the prayer that Jesus had specifically for us, even today. It was a prayer that he prayed for his disciples who were going to convert other disciples. So for us, a long way off. And today, as we continue in this idea of Jesus having these prayers, I want us to see today about Jesus, where the issue for most of us in the room is we see this perfect God and we disconnect because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. But today we see this perfect God who is going through one of the greatest humanity moments that you and I walk through on a regular basis. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk today about this and how this relates to you and I. And I want to begin by talking a little bit about this personal fork that happens to us, or a personal decision fork that many of us walk through in the course of our life. And so if you're a doodler and you like to do some doodling, this is a great opportunity for you to do a quick doodle, and you can make it look really a lot nicer than me. But I'm going to put this huge Y up here because I want you to see the agony of what Jesus went through, recognizing that for many of us in the room, we may be at the point of this agony, or we may be moving into the point of this agony. And so here's where Jesus was. And in this big Y of the decision fork that he's making, there's a couple of pieces here. And the first piece is this, and he talks about the road that is easy, but it leads to self. We'll be talking about that here in a moment. And on this one, I'll talk about this road here, because I think for most of us, we like this road, because if you're like me, it was an absolute horrible thing when I was a kid in school when they used that phrase. It was a very popular phrase back in the day called, that went like this: no pain, no gain. And I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. Okay, show of hands, anybody with me? Okay, six of you. Oh, all of us. Okay, good. A lot of us are kind of in this. I just don't like pain, you know? And the idea of this for a lot of us in the room is that we're searching for an easy path without pain. And the problem is this: many of us accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and in doing so, we had this thought or idea that if I say yes to Jesus, Jesus is going to say yes to my financial gain, Jesus is going to say yes to my health, Jesus is going to say yes to my relationships, Jesus is going to say yes to everything of my life, and the idea of pain, sorrow, and strife is no longer going to be present. And if any of you in the room have been a Christian for a long period of time, you understand this pain peace that goes on inside of us. And oftentimes we do whatever we can to avoid it. And here's where Jesus is at, because this is one angle that a lot of us go in. The second angle is this, and it's more of the hard road, and it leads to suffering. And today I'm going to talk about this road right here. And the reason that I'm going to talk about it is because probably you've not heard many sermons on it. You've not heard a lot of messages about it, because I think for a lot of us, we struggle with suffering. And when we go through a season of suffering in our life, many of us in the room come to a place where we just say, goodness gracious, I'm outside of God's will, because suffering wasn't supposed to happen. And I know that some of you may be going through this right now. You may be in a marriage right now where, quite honestly, for the last several months, maybe even years, the arguments at home just continue to get bigger and bigger, and they continue to escalate. And quite honestly, right now, you're thinking the easiest thing is to bow out of your marriage. And the reason why it's easy is because you're not getting along with her, she's not getting along with you, and the truth of the matter is, if you both go your ways, everything will turn out fine, and you'll be happy, she'll be happy, and eventually, everything should work out. The kids, they're resilient, right? So they should be fine. And so some of you today are at this decision fork where you're trying to make a choice. Do I choose myself or do I choose suffering? Because if I have to go back home and we have to raise another issue and that issue is going to bring a bigger argument, then how in the world are we going to deal with this? Some of you are at a point in relationships with your kids or your grandkids right now where you're just dealing with something right now. And the easy thing to do is to walk away. The easy thing to do is to say, look, we don't see eye to eye, so I'm going to go in this direction. They'll go in this direction. And the truth of the matter is, we don't have to deal with this stuff. And the idea of stepping into it and getting messy and getting dirty and going through the suffering seems like a foreign concept to us. We don't want to have to deal with that. Some of you are there financially. You've dug yourself into a huge hole and you're looking for an easy out. For some of you, there's an addiction that's controlling your life. And quite honestly, the easiest part of that addiction is for you to stay silent over and over again. And the truth is, you say, I'm not hurting no one but myself. And the point is, if I'm not hurting anybody else, it doesn't really matter. And so you choose this path and you hide it every single day, hoping that somewhere along the way, this path becomes the best path for your life. And the problem is this: it doesn't. And Jesus was faced with the same decision that some of you are faced with today, even in this moment. And here's how he went about the decision. It's found in the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. If you brought a Bible, go ahead and open it up. If you have a Bible app, you can go through the Bible app. I'll put the words right here on the screen behind me. But here's the thing that I want us to begin to discover. Jesus is heading towards the end of his life. He just had this incredible prayer where he said, God, make us one. That's what we talked about last week. And now he steps into a garden, and here's the final conversations that he's about to have before he heads in to the worst moments of his life. He begins here. He says, Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. I want to pause here because I think for some of you, you understand exactly what I'm talking about because of the anguish and the distress that you're feeling today. I mean, you may be saying, God, please heal my son, daughter, grandmother. You may be saying, God, what is this pain that's going on inside of me? And it's painful and I'm tired of it. And I really don't want to go see a doctor because I'm afraid of what the things may come out. And so today, some of you in the room are at this point of anguish and distress. Jesus understands where you are. So he says to them, my soul is crushed. Crushed with the grief to the point of death. He says, stay here, keep watch with me. And he went a little further, bowed his face in the ground, and he was praying. And he said this, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And I want you to know that for some of you, this is the prayer you have today. God, I don't want to walk down this road. I don't want to have to walk through these steps. And for some of you, you're forced into these steps. And for others of you, you've avoided these steps at every single cost. And you're saying, God, I don't want this. And then he returned to his disciples and found that they were asleep. And he said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you'll not give in to temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then he says, and he left them a second time. And he said, Father, if this cup cannot be taken away, unless I drink it, your will be done. And then he goes back to them again. They're sleeping again. They couldn't even keep their eyes open. And then it says he went to pray a third time, saying the same exact things. And then he comes back and he says, go ahead, guys, sleep, have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And it's at that moment, there's a switch in the action. And Judas shows up with a band of individuals to arrest Jesus and take him towards death. And so Jesus knows that in that moment, suffering is about to happen. And what we see through the life of Jesus and how he dealt with suffering is something that you can take today and walk away from here if you know that there is suffering that's going to happen in your future. There are five things that we see from this passage and a couple of other similar passages that Jesus did. And the first one is this. If you're writing down notes, take this. Keep asking for a better way. Jesus did. Why would Jesus ask three times? He is in the most intimate relationship with the Father that any human being has ever been in before. Obviously, he knows God's listening. But the reality for him is that he would be willing in this moment to say, God, we're going through something here. And the point is, my flesh right now wants to walk away from the pain of the next 15 hours. I don't want to deal with this kind of thing. And the truth is, I would love to just go down that road. But God, if it's your will, I'll choose suffering in this. And then he has to come back a second time and say, God, this is horrible. And some of you understand this. And you feel like your faith is less because you've had to go back and say, God, please heal my friend, heal my brother, heal my sister. You're dealing with pain and hurt and sorrow, and you're dealing with those things and the suffering, and you're watching somebody close to you who's suffering, maybe even to the point of death, and you go back to God one time, and you go back to God two times, and you go back to God five times and 10 times and 20 times, and you just say, God, why does it seem that you're not listening? And some of us even feel guilty to go back to God many times and say, God, there's a problem here. But Jesus did. And that's an encouragement to us. Because with some of you, I've sat in a hospital room with you as we've stood over a loved one who was near death, and we prayed even in the last moments of their life for healing to take place. And you sit there and think, gosh, I've tried this 10 times or 100 times or 1,000, and it still doesn't seem to be working. And what I love about this passage of scripture is that Jesus would remind us again that for every one of us, it is an opportunity for us to petition the very God that created you. And you get the privilege of going back to him again and again and saying, God, please. But notice how Jesus goes through this. He says, not my will, but your will be done. God, if there's any other way we can get through this. God, if there's any other way that I could avoid the pain, I'd love to avoid the pain. God, if there's any possibility in the world that I could just see this thing happen, wouldn't it be great? And Jesus comes back more than one time to be able to ask that conversation. The second thing that Jesus does in this process is not only he keeps asking, but you got to understand that you'll experience great pain. So did Jesus. Some of you today are struggling with this because you know the anguish and the distress of either a decision that you've made or a decision that you know you have to make or a decision that you made years ago, and you're way down the road here on the self piece and you're just struggling with these kinds of things, and the idea of suffering is not something that you want to openly choose. And Jesus did, and he's here to remind you that the pain is real, and you may need to acknowledge that. You may need to come to a place where you say, look, I know the pain of this thing is real. You see, some of us love to live in denial, don't we? And while that may be a river somewhere overseas, the truth is, this idea of denial is something that we can only take for so long. And then eventually, like everything else, grief has this way of finding us even in the darkest moments of our soul. And here's what Jesus reminds us. We go to a parallel passage. What that means is that in the Gospels, there are four books. And in those four books, there are four individual writers who tell their story of what they saw and observed with Jesus. And one of those is what you just read, Matthew, who was one of his disciples. Another one of those is a guy by the name of Luke, who was a doctor. And Luke took more of a doctor's observation. And in Luke chapter 22, as he describes this exact same situation, here's what Luke says to us. He prayed, talking about Jesus, more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Now, we know through history that this has happened a number of times, that individuals who are under incredible amounts of stress, who are under incredible amounts of pain, can actually go to a place that in the course of that, they will sweat and drops of blood will actually ooze out of their pores. We know that this is a reality, but you get to see a visualization of Jesus saying, look, I'm going to choose this path right here. And in order for me to choose this path, there is a lot of pain in this path. And I'm going to walk through that. And for those of you in the room who have had to choose this path, or this path is even being chosen for you and you don't want it, know this, Jesus knows your pain. He's walked through this path with you before. He's been down this road. The third thing that we observe about Jesus going through suffering is he looked for moments that God may send someone or an angel to give you strength. Look for those moments that God may send someone or an angel to give you some strength. We find this in this same passage here in Luke chapter 22, where an angel shows up. This is one of those pieces that as I was reading it again recently, God just revealed to me. I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool thing. It says this in 41 through 43. He walked away. Jesus walked about a stone's throw. He knelt down. He prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. And then listen to this. An angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. One of the things that I know about people who go through prolonged suffering and illness is that almost inevitably there's a conversation where they'll say, man, we were in hospice for this many weeks and we were struggling, and I still remember a nurse who made a comment to us and it just hit us at the right moment. I remember years ago going through the breakup of a relationship in my life, and it was a very horrible and disappointing time. And I remember just struggling with depression. I was distressed and anguished. And I'll never forget that in the course of that, a little fifth, sixth grade boy walked up to me one day, and he said to me, Pastor Chris, man, if you ever need somebody to talk to, I'm here for you. And I think for some of us, we think of those moments, we kind of chuckle them off. But I look back on that moment and I think, God, you sent that little boy at just the right time to say just the right thing in one of the lowest points of my life. Recognize this for yourself, that in this thing, through this process, that for those of you who maybe today is a day that you're ready to take a step and to start down the road of suffering, and you know that it may cost your relationship, it may cost somebody who's personal and very close to you, it may cost everything in your world, and you're saying, man, the pain of this, the suffering of this is great. God will, in those moments, potentially send the right person, an angel or something or someone to you to give you comfort at the time when you least expect it. The fourth thing that we find out about Christ and how he dealt with this is he learned how to be obedient to God even in your suffering. He was obedient to God even in your suffering. Let me explain this a little bit to us, because I think for some of us, we have a difficult time with this one. Because some of you in the room picked the path of suffering. You got honest in the course of that. You said, okay, God, I didn't want it, but this person went into the hospital and they got a bad diagnosis, and I watched them walk through the pain and the hurt and the sorrow. And so, God, I know exactly what that's like. And here's a problem that many of us have. I struggle with this, is that when I'm in the middle of suffering, I say, okay, God, I've suffered enough for you. Now I deserve something for myself. I need a little bit of relief. And you go back to old patterns, old lifestyles. Maybe for you, alcohol used to be your thing. And in the middle of suffering, the grief becomes so overwhelming that you return to the bottle. Maybe for you, pornography was your thing. And so the way to ooze the pain is to get online. And you say to yourself, you know what? The good news is, at least I'm not doing something else. Maybe for you, it's medication. There's some kind of drug that helps you to be a little bit more soft in those moments. But what I love about Jesus is that even in the middle of his suffering, even in the middle of all of his pain and all of the things and the anguish and the distress that he went through in the next 15 hours, the truth of the matter is this: he remained obedient to his Father. What an encouragement to us. The Hebrew writer talks about this exact same passage in Hebrews chapter 5. And they describe it in this way in Hebrews 5 verses 7 through 9. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears. Sound familiar to some of you? And to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Now some of you are going, Pastor, you just read the whole passage and God obviously didn't hear his prayers. But listen to what it says. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all of those who obey him. Can I say this to you, ladies and gentlemen? The suffering and the pain that you will go through is minimal compared to the suffering and pain that Jesus went through for you. 15 hours. He concludes this prayer. Judas shows up with an army of individuals, and immediately Jesus goes from being this rabbi to all of a sudden being an enemy of the state. And the conversation happens to the religious leaders, and because of their hands being tied, they go straight to the Roman authorities. And Jesus is tried, and then they take him out and they decide the best thing for us to do is to whip this boy into shape. And so they use these things called cat of nine tails. They were these long whips that they would rake over the course of a back of someone. And what these things were to do was to rip the flesh apart as they would come through and snap the whip. And the idea was they were filled with fragments of bone and rock and glass. And they would come through and they would smack it on the back of your back. And it would leave forth a whole line right where somebody had been hit. And the idea of this pain and suffering was to make sure that the person who did something wrong would not do that again. And Jesus went through the pain and the suffering and the bleeding of that for you. That's not enough. Instead, they decided to march him in front of the authorities, and they chose to do what was called by many as the cruelest form of punishment that's ever been invented by men. It's called crucifixion. The Romans perfected this because there are other ways to torture individuals, but the best way to torture someone is to torture them from the aspect of being publicly humiliated and shamed, and in the middle of that, making sure that they can't breathe. Because if you can slowly take away somebody's oxygen, then you can watch them suffer, and you can do it with a sense of satisfaction. And that's what happened. Jesus carried his cross until he passed out, and another individual carried the cross, and then they put Jesus on the ground like they would do, and they drove the nails into his hands and into his feet, and they tied him up to make sure that he would stay there. And then as they rose the cross up in front of everyone, what most of you don't see even in the movies is that they did this with complete nudity. And the reason behind it was because in the ancient world, especially among Jews who believed in the understanding of modesty, that this was one of the greatest ways to get rid of somebody, was to make sure that you shame them to the point of death, to show all of them and everyone around them, this was the suffering that Jesus Christ did for you. And then the worst moment of all was for him to go through every ounce of pain and sorrow and suffering. And the idea of crucifixion was simply that you had to, with these nails right there in your wrists, you had to pull on the nails and the nerves up against the bones to even catch a breath. And so he allowed greater amounts of pain just to breathe in. And the obedience to death was for your sin and for my sin. And this is why the Hebrew writer would say, God qualified him as the perfect priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for anyone who would obey him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, for Jesus to pick this road, He had to pick it for you and for me. Because he could have picked this road, he could have lived his life, he could have died a normal death, he could have gone through and made sure, oh, this was good, I'll keep this thing going, maybe we'll spread this thing out further with me here, all kinds of stuff. But the idea is this, he knew that in that moment he would only be living for the rest of his life for himself. He'd only be living the rest of his life to make sure that he protected his own interests. He'd only be living the rest of his life to make sure that he was happy. He'd be living the rest of his life to make sure that he was the one who was in charge, just like many of us live our lives. And instead he became to a point where he recognized there's a greater cause here, and the cause is this, that there are men and women and children for all of eternity. There are individuals who have sins that cannot be covered. There are individuals who've done wrong in ways that they cannot get over those ways, and the only way for them to have any kind of redemption, the only way for them to have any kind of sacrifice, the only way for them to have any kind of hope for a future is that somebody has to die in their place. And that person was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, ladies and gentlemen. He died so that you could live. So what's your suffering? Because the issue for some of us is, gosh, this back pain is too much. It's only a few pills. I can stop anytime that I want. But I'm just making sure that I'm doing okay. For some of us, I walk away from the relationship because, quite honestly, we've been arguing now for 20 years and it's not getting any better. And so for us to just do this, it's probably best for everybody else anyway. Or you continue to suffer, knowing that your suffering is only a small fragment of what Christ suffered for you. And then the fifth and final thing, which is where many of us are today, is this. Accept your new reality by trusting in Jesus. God may still say no. I know that this isn't the way a sermon's supposed to end, right? You're supposed to end on a happy note. You know the joy's coming. You know, come April 1st, we'll have the party of a year. But the truth of the matter for some of you today is this. I don't want you to walk away thinking that there's a happy ending tomorrow to the pain and the suffering that you're going through. And God may not remedy your situation anytime soon. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Jesus prayed it three times, was because he was trying to accept the new reality of, I'm about ready to go through this horrific 15 hours that is just absolutely beyond anything anybody could ever comprehend for groups of people that are not even born yet. And for some of you, this one's a tough one. And I'll tell you why it's a tough one, because you can go back to your father, you can go back to your grandfather, or a decision that your great-grandfather made probably somewhere along the way that was like this, and your family is still dealing with the issues that were made 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, or maybe even 75 years ago. And the problem is this. We make these decisions and we think to ourselves, you know what? The only person I'm going to hurt is me. And that isn't true. That isn't true. And the idea of going through this right here is that there are people, and you are, some of you today, are generationally affected because somebody somewhere in your family tree made choices that were selfish to them. They decided not to go through with a relationship. They decided to do their own thing. They decided to drink themselves to death. They decided that the only way out was with a gun. They decided that all the things that they could do. And the reason was because for them, it was the best way for it to happen. And you and I are left with the pieces, even to this day, of the pain that somebody made somewhere along the way because they wouldn't choose suffering. And can I say to you today, you can make a difference to the people who are sitting around you, to the people who are in your home, to the people in your world that you call the people that you love the most by maybe choosing this avenue of suffering today. It may be a sacrifice that ultimately changes the course of your family and your history. So where are you today? For some of you, you've got a big decision, and you know it. And it's a road that's either going to lead to joy in the morning, or it may be a road for you that's riddled with suffering. Maybe for some of you, the next step is that you're going to have a conversation this afternoon or this evening with people that you love dearly, and you're going to sit down with them. Just like I did first service, prayed with a guy right here who walked up and said, I am an alcoholic and I've been an alcoholic for 25 years and my family doesn't know. And this afternoon, I'm going to tell him. And we prayed for the suffering that this man's going to go through in the coming days as he detoxes himself. Or maybe the individual I talked to last night who came up after the service and we were praying and they said, if for me, it's painkillers and I've been doing this for quite some time and my family doesn't know it and the good news is I keep getting these and I have friends that are helping with me and we're going through this and so now I'm going to need to sit down with my kids and I'm going to need to tell them that daddy's been doing these kind of things and I shouldn't be. What's your next step? Maybe for you, it's to walk home and to say to the person that you thought when you came here today, the relationship was over. Maybe it's for you to say, we'll walk through this. It may be hell, but we're going to walk through this because Jesus walked to hell and back for us. Maybe for some of you, instead of saying, you know what, we're done, we're just going to throw in the towel financially. Maybe it's we're going to have to walk through the pain and suffering. It was a lot easier to get into this debt. Now it's going to be a lot of pain and suffering to walk out of this debt. Maybe for some of you, it's a conversation that you need to have at work because you chose a career that was all about you and it's raised a lot of money for you and it's made you happy, but you know your family's miserable and it's miserable for everybody else in your world. But the bottom line is this, you're recognizing today, maybe it's time for you to start having a conversation and to say, I may need to go through the suffering of changing careers. It may cost me thousands, it may cost me a lot, but this isn't who God made me to be. You know the decisions that you need to make. And you are right here in this fork right now. And whether you're down the river, you can come back to this. But you're right here and you're at a place where we walk away from this message and you've got to ask the question, God, not my will, but yours be done. Maybe for some of you in the room, you've noticed a little tinge in your system and you're not as healthy as you used to be. And your family's been saying to you, you ought to go see a doctor, and you say to them, oh, I'm fine. And you know that deep down inside, the pain of why you tell them you're fine is because you don't want to have to deal with the pain that may come of them saying, well, maybe you've got diabetes, or maybe you've got heart issues, and so you want to struggle through that. And so what are you doing? You just continue down the self, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm okay. Where are you today? What is the decision that you know you need to make that may lead you down this path? And when it leads you down this path, then my prayer for you is that you would look to Jesus in ways that you've never looked to Jesus before and recognize him as the source of your compassion and love and the source who will walk you through the suffering that maybe you need to walk through in your life. I'm going to invite you to stand if you would. So go ahead and stand. Some of you have experienced the service and thought, wow, I'd love to know a little bit more about Crossroads. If that's you, just right over here to the left. Others of you experienced this service and said, wow, I'm glad I don't go here, right? I'm so grateful for what Jesus did for us. And I pray that you are too. And the suffering that he did is only small compared to the suffering that you and I have to go through. But for some of us today, you're going through this incredible suffering. And so I just want to pray for you. So if you would, just close your eyes right now. And I'm having you do this for a reason. Because today's message, I know, wasn't for everyone in the room, but it specifically was for some of you. And if this message was straight for you, because you know you're getting ready to walk through something, maybe to put it in David's terms, the valley of the shadow of death, then will you just stick a hand up right now? Just stick a hand up. I see dozens of you with hands up. God, you see these hands. You know these hands. And you know that they're at a point of suffering or self, and they're choosing suffering. So give them strength. You can put your hand down now. Lord, for each one of us in this room, walk with us. Jesus, may you be more real in us. And I thank you for those moments in the garden in which we saw your humanity. Because God, you know that I've been in these same boats, that there have been times when I have lived life away from you and I've lived it around myself. I've self-medicated in ways that most people wouldn't self-medicate. And you reminded me that there was a moment that I needed to have conversations with the people who were closest to me. And God, I walked through a season of suffering, but I knew that I could make it through that season because Jesus Christ, you suffered and died for me. Lord, to anyone in the room today who's struggling with that, will you remind them that the pain that you endured is a pain that you can help them walk through to endure even in these moments? Jesus, will you remind them how much you love them? That the reckless, unabandoned love that you have for them is a love, Jesus, that only you can do for folks in this room who are far from you and wondering, is Jesus even there? You are present in ways you've never been present before. God, for friends of mine right now in this room who are walking through the valley and the shadow of death with a family member or friend who's very close to them, and I know there's some in this room right now who are doing that. God, remind them how much you love them, that you will not ever leave them or abandon them. God, for the people in this room who today are making a choice to stay married, and quite honestly, everyone in the world says you should just leave each other. God, do what only you do in those moments. Make an incredible gift out of something that today seems like an absolute disease. Lord, for the conversations that need to take place, for those times that we need to come back together, Jesus, remind us again of your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this. Now I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. So repeat after me these words if you feel called to do so. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Let's say that again. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so God, help us in our own lives to live for your will in obedience, maybe even in the suffering. Lead us through this, Jesus. And we pray this prayer in the awesome and most powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you all next weekend.